Well, you know, tonight we're celebrating. Last year at our communion service, there was no one here because of COVID. We were closed down. And I thank God tonight, even though this is our last communion service of 2021, it's hard to believe because everything seems to be turned around a little bit. It's hard to believe that tomorrow is Christmas and then we're back at Sunday. Amen? Do you feel the same way? Good. This side's not sure about anything, but you, I can tell. You know, and then all of a sudden, 2022, we're right around the corner. And here's my prayer for you, for all of us, for me as well, that by God's incredible grace and by His massive, unbelievable strength, that all of us tonight, you know, let's just prepare our hearts to leave 2021 behind us. You know, the good, the bad, the ugly, I mean all of it. Let's just leave it and not bring it with us. Amen? Amen. And we want to do that tonight when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. But more than that, loved one, listen, you know, I know that we have all, not all of us, but many of us, me included, we've lost people this year that we love dearly. And this is going to be our first Christmas without them. Well, here's the good news. Is that we do not sorrow and we do not grieve as others who have no hope. Amen. We know where those that we love, that love the Lord, we know that they are alive. Praise the Lord. And we know where they are and that we will see them again. But we do grieve and we do sorrow, but we don't do like the world does, amen? You know, I read a quote by Donna Lavera the other day. Let me just read it to you about grieving. She writes and she says, you know, grief never ends, but it changes. It's a passage and not a place to stay. Grief is not a sign of weakness or a lack of faith. Listen carefully now. It is the price of love. Isn't that a true word? It is the price of love. So tonight, we've not gathered here tonight like maybe the world does and so forth. We're not here to celebrate a holiday. The birth of Christ is not a holiday. It's a supernatural event, amen? We're not here even to celebrate a date on a calendar. Man, we are here to celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ because that birth changed the world. And not only that, it changed us. Amen? So with all that being said, here we are tonight. We've gathered together as the family of God. We're citizens of heaven. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And you know what's wonderful as we celebrate tonight? We celebrate that the Creator of all things, the Sustainer of all things, He did something. He left heaven. He entered into His creation and became one of us without sin. He is the God-man. You know, the Bible tells us that the Word, meaning Jesus, was made flesh and He dwelt or presenced Himself or tabernacled among us. So with all that being said, that's really the story of Christmas tonight, is that, you know what? We couldn't go to Him, but He certainly came for us. I thank God for that. Aren't you glad that Jesus is your Lord tonight and that we know the true meaning of Christmas? Amen? Amen. Now, with all that being said, let's look at Matthew and let's just look quickly in a few verses in chapter 1. And it says in verse 18, now the birth of Jesus was as follows. And after His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And when Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And look what the purpose. He shall save his people from their sins. And with all that being said, drop down now to chapter 2 and look at verse 1 where it says this. Now after, say that word with me, after, That's a very important word in our text. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from Calvary Chapel, from the east came to Jerusalem. Now, we know all about King Herod. He wasn't a Jew. He was an Edomite, meaning a descendant of Esau. And he was actually a genius, but he was a wicked genius, okay? He was a puppet king that Rome put in his place. Do you know that Herod the Great was only, even though he was an incredible builder, do you know that he was only like 4 feet tall? Think about that. He was married 10 times. Hello. You know, he murdered most of his children and many of his wives because he was jealous of the throne and so forth. And so that was what that time frame is. And so it says that wise men came from the east. In other words, the magi. We get our word a magic, if you will. So these Gentiles came from Arabia, Babylon, and Persia, and they specialized in, they were intelligent people. They studied out astrology, if you will, and science and math, and they loved to study the stars. Now, we know the story so well tonight. It's so familiar. We all know that when the wise men, when they showed up there in Bethlehem, we know what they were doing. We know what they were singing. We know the song that they were on the camels and so forth or whatever. What were they singing? We three kings of Orient are. Remember that? You know what I mean? Let me just finish it. Bearing gifts we transverse afar, field and fountain and moor and mountain, following yonder star. Remember that? Oh, star of wonder. Yeah. That's what those three guys were doing, correct? I mean, you know the Word of God. You know the Bible tonight. You've got that down. Listen, here's the problem. You know, how many Christmas cards did you get? I know I did. And there you have the three wise men and their kings, and they're on these camels, and they're bearing all these gifts and so forth. I mean, 2:11, you know, says that they had three gifts, so there had to be three kings or wise men, right? No, smart section, this people over here, you don't know. You just moved from Southern Cal, I know. No, I'm joking. You know I'm teasing. I love Southern Cal. Damn. Greg Laurie and all those guys are some of my best friends. Dear Lord, he knows I would be teasing. Now, but with all that being said, let me ask you let me give you the quiz. Okay, the wise men were three kings, true or false? False, smart people. Their names were Melchior and Belshazzar and Caspar. True or false? False. They visited baby Jesus at the manger, true or false? Oh, true. False. Yes. You know, the Christmas cards, they've taught us all the wrong stuff. Listen, it says in verse 1, remember what I asked you to use that word after? It says after Jesus was born. If you look at verse 8, you look at verse 11, it doesn't say a babe in a manger. It says a young child. So maybe a few months now, maybe longer, they have passed. And you're going to notice that they're not coming to a manger, they're coming to a house. Look at verse 11. And when they, the wise man, had come into the house, not the stable, no mention of a manger, but the Christmas cards, they show that, you know, don't they? They're right there at the manger. Matter of fact, you don't know how messed up we are. If you went to the main lobby right now, you know what you would find? The same scene. I mean, you know, how perverted are we? You know, it's all messed up. So you're saying, well, you're trying to mess up my Christmas. No, I'm teaching you about the true Christmas night. Amen? Now, but here's the deal, loved one. The emphasis on our text tonight, it's not who they were, these wise men, but it's what the wise men did. They worshiped the Lord. These Gentiles, they that were outside of the covenant of God. Now, it says here, and when they'd come into the house, Matthew 2:2, it says, and they were saying, or they went around the entire city of Jerusalem, and they were questioning, where is he? Where is he who's been born of the King of the Jews? And it says, for we have seen his what? His star in the east, and we have come, and I love it, to worship him. That's all they wanted to do, was to worship the Lord. This was a fulfillment of Balaam's prophecy in Numbers 24:17, which says this, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. Here it comes. A star shall come out of Jacob, meaning Israel. A scepter, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, amen? A scepter shall ride out of Israel. Isn't it amazing? That prophecy by Balaam was given 1,500 years before the arrival of the Magi. Think about that. And no one on earth knew but God that what they were going to do, amen? So they traveled and they were following this star, and the wise man said this, they said, here's what we want to do. We just want to bow down. We want to kneel down. We want to fall down before him, and we want to worship him. It's mentioned, worship is mentioned, I think, three or four times in these few 12 verses. So they said, we've seen his star, and we've been following that. And they said, now, where is he? Where is he? You know what? That is passion, isn't it? That's desire. I just want to find the Lord. You know what? We should be finding the Lord every day, every morning, every evening. And you know what? Wise men still do the same thing. And you know something? We need to worship the Lord. We need to worship the one who is manifest as we know to take away our sin. And in him, there is no sin. Teach your children to worship the Lord. Teach your teenagers to worship the Lord. Whoever lives in your house, teach them to worship the Lord. Tomorrow morning is Christmas, isn't it? Now, maybe tonight you celebrate your Christmas, or maybe tomorrow. But you know what we always did? I always, before one thing happened in our home, I would open the Bible and I would read the entire story from Luke's gospel about the birth of our Lord. Then, after we prayed, then we would open presents. It's about him. Amen. That's what it's all about, loved one. And when Herod the king heard this, he was excited about it. No, he was terrified. That's what that word literally means. He was troubled. And all of Jerusalem, they were troubled with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests, the scribes, and of the people together, look what he did. He inquired, that word means demanded. He demanded of them where the Christ, the Messiah, where the Christ was to be born. And so they said to him, the scribes, they knew it. They knew exactly where the Messiah was to be born. And they're going to give him the answer immediately. But loved one, now listen, they're going to give it, but it's only head knowledge. It's not heart knowledge, okay? Watch this. So they said to Herod, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Isn't it amazing that the Magi, the wise men, they read that verse? How far is Bethlehem from Jerusalem? It's 5 miles. 5 miles. And now they just learned from the scriptures that they just quoted where the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Savior of the world, was to be born. And here's what's tragic. They didn't go after him. Isn't that sad? I mean, they had the Word of God, but they didn't obviously believe the Word of God and so forth. And you know why they did that? They were not interested in finding the Messiah. I pray that can never be said of the church. Amen. Oh, listen, not interested in seeking the Lord, worshiping the Lord, and our Savior. And you know what? They knew exactly where to find him. So the wise men, the comparison, they wouldn't rest until they found the king. But this city of Jerusalem, all the scribes, all the leaders, even Herod, they were all asleep. We don't want to ever be asleep. Amen. Matter of fact, we better watch. We better be ready, for we do not know the hour of our Lord when he comes for us. Amen. He said, and then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, he determined from them what time the star appeared. Or actually, that's a bad translation. It would really read like this. How long does the star make itself visible since you saw it rise? That's a great question, isn't it? Do you always see it? Does it appear just for a little bit? And he says here, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child, not the babe in the manger, the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me. And look what Herod says, that I may come and worship him also. You know, he just told a lie, didn't he? A lie for every generation to read, and we just did. And think about this now. You think he regretted that? Yes, he's regretted it for 2,000 years, loved one. And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them. Wham! And until it came, and it stood over where the child was. Just a normal day, right? Amen? No. He says, and when they saw the star, look what the wise men did. They rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. In other words, the Amplified Version says this, they were thrilled with ecstatic joy. This is a miracle. Think about that. Can you imagine a star? And you're following the star, it appears sometimes, and then you just keep going in that direction until maybe it appears again to keep leading you. And not only that, the star actually stopped. That wasn't a planet. You've probably read stories about, well, this, you know, Mercury, Jupiter, you know, Dumbo and all the rest of them converged. No, this is supernatural. Do you understand? This is not natural. This is a supernatural event. I mean, the star, it stopped and it stood over, or literally it hovered over the place where Christ was. To me, that is unbelievable. Do you know how that happened? I don't know, but God knows. The wise men only had this. They had the message of the star and a couple of prophecies. That's all that they had. The scribes and Herod and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the rest of them, the Essenes and Essenes rather, they, you know what? They had the word of God. And the wise men had traveled well over 1,000 miles from their homeland, and they came to a dead city with people full of dead faith. And it says, and when they had come into the house, not the manger, now they've moved, they're in a house now. It says, they, the wise men, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. And look what they did. And they fell down and they worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed far their own country another way. Can you imagine had the wise men returned to Jerusalem and informed Herod? Oh, you know what he would have tried to do. You know, matter of fact, we know that he massacred all the innocents, remember? But that's another part of the story. So here, man, when the wise men, they saw baby Jesus, listen to me, they actually saw God in the flesh. And here's what they did. They fell down. They fell down. You know, I believe with all of my heart, the babe in the manger, that young child, was he God in the flesh? Amen. He was God. I believe with all of my heart there was an authority. There was a divine authority right there. And we know that to be true. And they fell down because of that authority. They knew that this was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then they worshiped him. That's more than just laying out flat. This word literally is speaking also that they adored Jesus right there. And then they presented gifts, the gold representing his royalty or his deity. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then they presented to him frankincense, that beautiful aroma, and the representing his humanity. He's the God-man. And then myrrh, which represents his sacrifice, his suffering, and his death. Matter of fact, they used myrrh, remember, to do the embalming after someone had died. And so can you imagine following a star? What you talking about, an adventure with God? Is that an adventure? Man, I mean, I look at that and I say, dear Lord, they had never seen Jesus. They didn't know, never seen Mary, never seen Joseph. And you know what? They believed in Christ, meaning they believed in the Messiah. Do you think there's any greater faith found in the Word of God? They're worshiping a king. Does he have a palace? No, he's sitting in the lap of Mary. And I say, oh Lord, did they hear any teaching that would spark their faith? Doesn't say that they did. None at all. And we have 1,000 times more evidence. We have the entire Word of God. Amen? Boy, we should be so on fire and do what the wise men did every day, though. It says in Jeremiah 29:13, God says this, and you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. And you know what? Isn't that what the wise men did? They were relentless. They were going to find him. And you know, our lifestyle is not one, loved one, as we end this Christmas and now the end of this year. Our lifestyle, we just don't worship on Sunday or Wednesday. It's a lifestyle. It's every day. May I encourage you to always be, remember what Mary did, be like Mary. Remember what she said when she was talking to Elizabeth. In Luke 1:46, it says, and Mary said, my soul, everything that's within me, Mary says, my soul magnifies the Lord. Magnifies. That's that mega worship where you're just exploding in your heart. And she says, and my spirit rejoiced in God, my Savior, the object of her worship. What gift can you give to Jesus? What gift can we give to him? The one who died our death, the one who took our place, took our sin, our guilt, our shame, and made us co-heirs with him. And more than conquerors. What in the world can we give to the Lord? The wise men, they gave those things. But what can we, the church today, really give to the Lord? You ever think about that? And I say, Lord, you're so good to us. You know, the Bible, remember what Jesus said in Matthew 15:8? He says, these people, they draw near to me with their mouth and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You ready for a great gift to give to the Lord? And I'm sure you're doing this, but if you're not doing this, this would be a great gift. And that is this, let the words of your mouth match your heart. Amen? Not giving Jesus lip service, you know? Isn't it easy at Christmas just to talk about the Lord? Come on. You know, just lips coming out of our mouth, you know? But what if Jesus said this? You know, the church that I paid for, my body, the body of Christ. You know, they talk about me every year so much at Christmas. And you know what? They put things on Christmas cards about me and all of that. They even sing carols to me and about me and so forth. But many hearts are kind of far from me. I don't want my heart to be far from the Lord. Amen. You know, I know this is going to sound weird, but on the way in this morning early to the office, I nearly had a wreck, man, and because I'm driving and it's, you know, it's a weird, this weather, and I look out to the right, the left, hello, Bill, to the left, and up in the sky, and I'm telling you, there was a cloud, and if there was ever the spitting image of what we do with angels, the wings and all of that, it was unbelievable. I nearly took a picture of it. So as I was driving, the angel was kind of following me, you know. Never mind. I don't want to really get into that, but we should worship the Lord. You know what I mean? I'm so thankful. You know, I don't want to keep us long because I know it's Christmassy, but let me, I've received so many unexpected, some were emails, some were Christmas cards, and some go back, you know, nearly 30 years. And they said, Bill, I know you don't remember this, but I gave my heart to Christ here at Calvary. And now all of my family saved. All of my family, they all got saved at Calvary. Every one of them. And there's not one member in my family today that's not saved. Do you know how much that blesses me? You know, And you know, and the guy that just stopped by from he's in California, he's just stopped by. He says, I left here in 99, Bill. He says, you don't recognize me because I've lost all my hair. And I said, the more he started talking, then I started remembering him when he was young. Do you understand? And I said, I remember now. And he said, I want you to know that when I left here, I took your card, your little card with your name on it, and it's been in my wallet every day since 1999 because I love Calvary Chapel. And I love being there at this church. And he said, I'm on my way to, it was another state or what. I just wanted you to know. You know, those are the kind of precious memories, the old as I get old now. You know what I mean. They're so precious to me. You know, God is so good. He saved so many in this church, loved one. I say, oh, Lord, you are so good. You know, we need to be like the wise men. They gave their hearts with an abandon unto the Lord, and they worshiped him with joy. The greatest gift that you can give Jesus every day of your life is you. Amen? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Amen? A living sacrifice. Romans 12, 1 and 2, loved one. Oh, listen, that's all that God wants is you. The ushers, as you start preparing yourself to pass out the communion, let me finish our message and quickly pass out the elements tonight. Paul shouts and he says this in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift. That word means a gift that cannot be fully declared. Indescribable, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Listen, how can we ever even begin to estimate the value of the birth of Jesus? Think about that. I mean, listen to me. The one Jesus, did they have any room in the inn for him? None. But you know what? Jesus has made room for you in his heart and in heaven. Amen. Oh, I thank the Lord for that. And I want to say something else, and I want you to think about this. You know, here's how it all happened. You know that movie, what is it, The Christmas Carol? You know, Christmas Past, Christmas, whatever it was. Is that right? Okay, thank you. I just want to make sure I wasn't, you know, missing it. And I didn't think, and you know, so I looked at it a different way. I looked at it as Christian past, Christian present, Christian future. You follow me? And listen to me. Let me tell you how much God loves you tonight as you prepare your hearts for communion, as it's being passed out. Loved one, listen to me. Would you think of your past for a moment before you were ever born? Ephesians 1:4 says what? That God chose you in him, in Christ, before the foundation of this earth. Amen? Before the world ever was, before the first sunset, sunrise, before anything in creation. God the Father, before angels, before anything, there was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Listen, he chose you in eternity. You were not chosen in time. That's Christian past. Is that okay? How about Christian present? How about this one? Romans, what is it, 8:30, whatnot, that you have now, here you are, you're born again. Now, God knew you were going to be born again. And here you are born again. It shocked you. When I got saved, it shocked me. You understand? But now what's happening? God says, oh, I predestined you. I selected you. I predestined you to be conformed to the very image of my Son. Think about that. So here we are, chosen in eternity. Now we're being conformed to his Son, Christian present. How about the next step? What does the Bible say? It says, when we see him, we shall be like him. Amen. Oh, if we can't praise the Lord, if we can't worship the Lord for that, there is something wrong with our hearts. Amen. So tonight, as we look and we celebrate communion, Paul the Apostle writes, and he says this, as I read on this Christmas Eve, the last communion of this year, it says, and the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. And then Jesus says this, this do with the bread. He says, this do in remembrance of me. I love to say this every time. Jesus was broken so you wouldn't have to be broken. Amen? So you could be healed. It says also, it says, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it. And we're going to drink it in a few minutes. He says, when you do that, when you hold that cup, he says, and you drink that cup, you do it in remembrance of me. Aren't you glad that we're redeemed tonight? Amen. The blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all sin. Oh, listen. And then it says, and for as often as you eat this bread, as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim, you preach the Lord's death until he comes. Until he comes. We may not celebrate Christmas. He may come for us tonight. Would that be a party? Amen. He says, now, and then he says, therefore, whoever eats this bread, drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body, the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So the first thing we do tonight, we look back and we remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. Amen. I thank God he took my place. We died 2,000 years ago. We were crucified with Christ on the cross. Amen. When he died, we died. Whenever he rose from the dead, we rose from the dead. Whenever he ascended, we ascended with him. It says in Ephesians 2:6 that we are seated together with Christ in heavenly places, and we are so right this minute. And I thank God as we look back at the precious blood, him taking our place and dying our death, tasting death that we would never have to taste, knowing that for us, when we're absent from the body, we're home. We're present with the Lord. Amen. So with all that being said, after we look back, then we look forward. We say, oh, Lord, thank you for coming. Thank you for coming for us. And then we look within. To me, that's the main one. The main one. We live in a world where everything in this world, this is a world that has fallen. This is a world that's under the sway of the devil, it says in 1 John 5. We live in a world where everything that's outside, when we walk out that door and we go into this world, everything out there, loved one, appeals to the flesh. Do you understand? There's nothing that appeals to the flesh in heaven. Amen? No. So we walk out the door, there's a fight. So we have to look within, because we walk in this world, we can become spotted with a few of the things of this world. So we look within and you say, you know, maybe you have aught. Maybe you're mad. Christmas, everybody seems to get mad. You know what I mean? I'm mad at Uncle Harry. I don't want him to be, you know, da-da-da-da-da. You know, I don't like him. And look who's coming. Oh, gosh, this is going to be hard. You know what I mean? Don't do that. You know, go up to Uncle Harry and say, "Ooh, you smell like poo, you know, scotch or something. I don't know." Say, "Jesus loves you. Do you love him? If you're going to get in a fight, get in a good one." Look in your heart. You have aught, get rid of it. You have things that no one knows about. We all do. But I'm going to tell you something. God loves us unconditionally. He knows what we face. And I'll tell you something. He saved us. And who he saves, he doesn't lose. Amen. Oh, we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit forever. We have been, the Bible says in Hebrews, we have been eternally redeemed. We are eternally purchased by Almighty God through the death and the resurrection and the blood of Jesus Christ. Look within. Man, listen, and get rid of it. Father, tonight, right now, in Jesus' name, as we hold the bread and the cup in our hands, oh, Lord, there's no one like you. And we celebrate, it, Lord, tonight and tomorrow, we celebrate your birth. But more than that, we celebrate the victory, oh, Father, that we have in you, that we have in you right now. That we've overcome this world because You've overcome this world. Our sins, oh Father, they can't torment us because our sins are as far as the east is from the west. And Father, you said a new word. You've even forgotten our sin. I thank you for that. I thank you when you look at us, you see us in Christ Jesus. You see us seated with Christ Jesus. You see us complete in Christ Jesus. You see us fully forgiven in Christ Jesus. We, when you see us, Lord, you see us fully accepted. But more than that, we stand now, right this minute. Therefore, whoever is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation, and we are under no condemnation anymore, Lord, for Jesus paid it all. So, Lord, his body broken for us, and it is the bread that we as the family of God partake of on this Christmas Eve. Let us partake with joy in Jesus' name. Father, we praise you that we have the privilege of holding the cup of the new covenant, the blood of Christ. That, Lord, this is the last sacrifice for sin. There's no other sacrifices. This is it. And, Lord God, you paid, as John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the sin of mankind." We celebrate tonight that we are your sons and your daughters. We're the children of God. And we know that you love us and have accepted us in Christ Jesus. We celebrate, Lord, the birth of Christ and remember now all that he has done for us. In Jesus' name, let us partake of the cup. Father, we praise you tonight. We give you honor. We give you glory. And one more time, Lord, as we offer up praise to you, we also lift up our brothers and sisters that are ill, that COVID has invaded their homes, their children, their moms, the dads, how it's trying to sweep through here, Lord. Would you be kind enough to let it just be swept out of here since it's trying to sweep in here, Father? And I thank you for all that are present tonight, some that are probably from out of state or just visiting with families. Lord, bless them. Bless every home. I mean, bless them. And Lord, tonight, tomorrow, keep them safe in all that they do. And may they have the most joyous Christmas that they've ever had and the most prosperous, holy 2022 that they've ever had. We ask it. We believe it. We receive it tonight. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. From my home to your home, Rebecca and I and all the Calvary staff, we thank you. We love you. We pray that you have a Christ-centered Christmas in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight, shall we? Jesse's going to take us home. If anyone needs prayer after the service, there'll be people down here to pray. Stay safe in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Love you dearly.